Translation. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The absolute truth is realized in full by the process of devotional service to the Lord, Vasudev, or the personality of Godhead, who is the full-fledged absolute truth. Brahman is his transcendental bodily effulgence, and Paramatma is his partial representation. As such, Brahman or Paramatma realization of the absolute truth is but a partial realization. There are four different types of human beings: the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, and the devotees. The karmis are materialistic, whereas the other three are transcendental. The first class transcendentalists are the devotees who have realized the Supreme Person. The second class and transcendentalists are those who have partially realized the plenary portion of the Absolute Person. And the third class transcendentalists are those who have barely realized the spiritual focus of the Absolute Person. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, the Supreme Person is realized by devotional service, which is backed by full knowledge and detachment from material association. We have already discussed the point that devotional service is followed by knowledge and detachment from material association. As Brahman and Paramatma realizations are imperfect realizations of the absolute truth, so the means of realizing Brahman and Paramatma, that is the path of Jnana and Yoga, are also imperfect means of realizing the absolute truth. Devotional service, which is based on the foreground of full knowledge combined with detachment from material association, and which is fixed by the oral reception of the Vedanta Shruti, is the only perfect method by which seriously inquisitive student can realize the absolute truth. Devotional service is not therefore meant for the less intelligent class of transcendentalists. There are three classes of devotees, namely first, second, and third class. The third class devotees, or the neophytes, who have no knowledge and are not detached from material association. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Shri Giri Govardhan ji ki jai. The third class devotees, or the neophytes, who have no knowledge and are not detached from material association, but who are simply attracted by their preliminary process of worshipping the deity in the temple, are called material devotees. Material devotees are more attached to material benefit than transcendental profit. Therefore, one has to make definite progress from the position of material devotional service to the second class devotional position. In the second class position, the devotee can see four principles in the devotional line, namely the personality of Godhead, his devotees, the ignorant, and the envious. One has to raise himself at least to the stage of second class devotee and thus become eligible to know the absolute truth. A third class devotee therefore has to receive the instructions of devotional service from the authoritative sources of Bhagavata. The number one Bhagavata is the established personality of devotee, and the other Bhagavatam is a message of Godhead. The third class devotee therefore has to go to the personality of devotee in order to learn the instructions of devotional service. Such a personality of devotee is not a professional man who earns his livelihood by the business of Bhagavatam. Such a devotee must be a representative of Sukadev Goswami, like Suta Goswami, and must preach the cult of devotional service for the all-around benefit of all people. A neophyte devotee has very little taste for hearing from the authorities. Such a neophyte devotee makes a show of hearing from the professional man to satisfy his senses. This sort of hearing and chanting has spoiled the whole thing. So one should be very careful about the faulty process. The holy messages of Godhead, as inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita or in Srimad Bhagavatam, are undoubtedly the transcendental subjects. But even though they are so, such transcendental matters are not to be received from a professional man who spoils them as the serpent spoils milk simply by the touch of his tongue. A sincere devotee must therefore be prepared to hear the Vedic literatures like the Upanishad, Vedanta and other literatures left by the previous authorities or Goswamis for the benefit of his progress. Without hearing such literatures, one cannot make actual progress. And without hearing and following the instructions, the show of devotional service becomes worthless, and therefore a sort of disturbance in the path of devotional service. Unless, therefore, devotional service is established on the principle of Shruti, Smriti, Puranas, and or Pancharatra authorities, the make show of devotional service should at once be rejected. An unauthorized devotee should never be recognized as a pure devotee. By assimilation of such knowledge from the Vedic literatures, one can see the all-pervading localized aspect of the personality of Godhead within his own self constantly. This is called Samadhi. Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. First of all, I'd like to take the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas here and also online. Really seek the blessings. I'm not qualified to sit here, but by the mercy of all the devotees here, I've given a chance to purify myself by speaking on the subject of Bhagavad and seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, very elaborate purport by Srila Prabhupada. And such systematic way Prabhupada has gone about explaining the process of devotional service and what are the pitfalls when we embark on this journey. So very detailed way Prabhupada has explained. I thought, what more can we add here? So I thought of listening to Prabhupada's class on this topic. So there are two lectures of Prabhupada on this topic. And Prabhupada touches the same topic differently. So I prepared based on Prabhupada's class and also heard from other devotees who have spoken on this subject. It's interesting that Prabhupada doesn't directly jump into this subject. He gives a background, and that background is that this human form of life has got some purpose. There is a purpose to this human form of life, and Prabhupada says that this. I'll just refer to the notes I've prepared. So this human form of life is not meant to be spoiled like hogs and dogs, basically animals. The material nature has prepared the body of animals, or their life in such a way that they are simply busy trying to find out where is food, where is eating, where can I get eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That is not the purpose of human life. Should not be spoiled following the path of the animals. So there is a specific purpose. And Prabhupada gives an analogy of a government servant. A government servant, or like a big minister, or a member of parliament, he is given a very nice facility. He is given a nice home, very good salary, he's given servants. And what is the purpose? Why? So that he can, so that with a cool mind and cool brain, he can render some valuable service to the administration. So that is the purpose. Similarly, the human beings have been given this body, which has a lot of benefits. You can easily get grains, fruit, milk. You've been given the intelligence to build nice houses, nice roads, and nice clothes, and live a very comfortable life. So that, and what is the purpose of this comfortable life? Is to save time to inquire about the absolute truth, tattva jigyasa. So that is the purpose. If we miss that chance of that facility, if we simply be engrossed in increasing our material comfort more and more, making our life better more and more, for the purpose of sense gratification, that will spoil the whole thing. So just like government servant, if he not focuses on rendering service, but he gets distracted and increasing his comforts of life, he'll get into trouble. So this is the position that we have been given. To earn money, live a comfortable life, and utilize the time we have for tattva jigyasa. Then next question is, what is this tattva? What is it that we need to inquire? This tattva is, in the previous verse, we discussed, brahmaiti, paramatmaiti, bhagavaniti, shabdayate. So that is the focus area. But generally what we see in our life is, even if we come to the Krishna consciousness, slowly we become a little comfortable, and instead of doing tattva jigyasa, at least in my case, the jigyasa goes somewhere else. Jigyasa goes in, what is the news? What is the stock market doing? What is the currency exchange rate? So all of these, who's winning the political elections? So this is where, and I've seen that over time, if we continue to do this, our interest in tattva jigyasa decreases. It kind of sucks the vitality of our spiritual life. And it becomes a spiritual life, the enthusiasm starts to wane away. It's still there, we're just hanging there somehow. But so we should be very careful that never let go of this tattva jigyasa. And Prabhupada elaborates it further. So what are the things we need to inquire about? Okay, why have we come to this material world? Okay, then why are we under the threefold miserable condition of life? Adhyatmika, adhidaivika, adhibhautika. These are the three miseries of life. Why are we suffering under this? I don't want to grow old, but why am I been forced to grow old? I don't want to die, but why am I forced to die? So these are the questions we should ask. But unfortunately, our educational system, this knowledge is not available anywhere. Okay, nobody is interested. All our educational system is teaching us is, where is the money? Where is the money? In the daytime, just think about, where can I get the money? And in the night time, I just want to go to have a nice sleep. And those people who have facility for sex enjoyment, they just find different ways to enjoy sex life. So this is going on. The modern civilization is not, these things are not discussed in the modern civilization. This is not their focus. There is this United Nations, Prabhupada explains, that their business is to find peace and find the solutions of countries, various countries. But all they are doing is causing war all over the world. And there is so much politics and diplomacy, but there is no solution. If somebody is serious about solving the problems of life, understanding the purpose of life, then they should come and understand this Krishna consciousness movement and understand the principles of Krishna consciousness and then apply it to the various aspects of life, whether it's politics, whether it is sociology, whether it is economical, anything. These principles of Krishna consciousness can be applied for all aspects of modern civilization. So that is a request Prabhupada is making. Everything can be solved. Jiva jivasya jigyasa. Jiva jivasya tattva jigyasa. This is called inquiry. Inquisitiveness about the absolute truth. Now this verse that we discuss is describing how one can become interested in the value of life. The values of life is to understand the absolute truth. That is the purpose of, and how we can develop this inclination for Krishna consciousness. So that is very nicely explained in this verse, step by step. If you look at our life, most people have that inquisitiveness, that where am I coming from? Who am I? Who is God? What is my relationship with Him? And why am I suffering? So if a person is little sane, he will ask such questions. But the way we live our life, these questions are kept aside and other things take priority. So this is not some artificial imposition about Tattva Jigyasa. That Jigyasa is there, everyone. I've spoken to many, many people, and even those who are not devotees, they ask these questions, but they don't have the answer, unfortunately. So this is required. This is required. So the other aspect that this verse talks about is the aim of human life is to acquire knowledge and be detached. Jnana vairagya yuktaya. But this knowledge is, what is this knowledge? Can anybody give an answer? What is this knowledge that this verse talks about? Transcendental knowledge. Yeah, transcendental knowledge, non-material knowledge. Any other guesses? What is this knowledge that we have to acquire, or we should be interested in? About the Absolute Truth. Yes. So Prabhupada says, this knowledge is, I am not this body. I am a spirit soul. So that is transcendental knowledge. So this is what we should be, that is the knowledge we should acquire, not the knowledge that the scientists are trying to acquire. What is the problem with the knowledge the scientists are trying to acquire? Because that knowledge is simply increasing the bodily, the attachment to this material world. All the knowledge of scientists is about, Prabhupada says, there is already darkness in the world, okay, without Krishna consciousness. And the scientists are creating more darkness. So that business is, instead of coming out of darkness, they're increasing more of a darkness. The example is, Prabhupada says, they're creating atomic bombs. People are dying, but they are making the process very faster by creating the bombs. So this is going into more and more darkness. That is the problem with the scientific knowledge. That knowledge is ajnana. But the knowledge given in the Shastra is jnana, because that knowledge takes us to detachment, not attachment to the material world. So that is the knowledge we have to focus on. So Prabhupada gives an interesting perspective to this. Prabhupada explains that first thing is adau shraddha. So this shraddha dhan means a faithful person. And this is required. And this Prabhupada relates to Rupa Goswami when he explains the eight stages of devotional service, progress in devotional service, starting with adau shraddha. So Prabhupada relates this Shraddha Dhan to Adav Shraddha. So a little bit of faith is required. That these people, I've seen them chanting on the streets. They're nice people. I should talk to them sometime. I should visit the temple. That little faith is required. That is Adav Shraddha. So that is required. But the problem is, people don't know who is God. Okay? They don't know who is God, and even if they are a little bit interested in God, they come to the point that God has no form. You've seen this many times. When you talk to outside people, they will say that, I believe in God, but the God is supreme light. Supreme light. But they don't realize that is the first stage of the absolute truth. The first stage of Brahman realization, or the absolute realization. They don't want to cross beyond it. They think this is it. This is the final stage. There is nothing beyond this light. But they don't realize that is a preliminary stage. That's the first stage. You have to move forward. The second stage is to realize the Paramatma. That is the second stage. And then the third stage is realize the person, the Brahman, the Supreme Absolute Truth. That is what we have to come to. And that is what Srila Prabhupada is saying we are trying to teach in this Krishna consciousness movement. How to love God. If we have to love God, we cannot love the sky. It has to be a form. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. So Prabhupada says this Vigraha is needed to establish a loving relationship. We cannot love sky or abstract things. It needs to be a form. So that form is indicated in the Shastra, in the Vedas. That form is Krishna's form, that is transcendental. So that form, we have to develop a loving relationship. So people have no education, as we discussed earlier. The spirit soul is permanent. The spirit soul is going through the is experiencing the changes of the body and all the karma that comes along with it. It is simply going, Prabhupada interestingly says that it is changing different types of body in order to suffer different types of miserable condition of life. So that is an interesting perspective as I heard. That this, we think that this body is to enjoy different ways, but it is actually to experience this different kind of suffering. So every body comes with one specific kind of suffering. So the soul is simply changing body to experience different kind of sufferings on different types of bodies. But what do we think? Now we have got a nice body. We think the other way. We think that how can I make my life very comfortable in this body? Somehow I have to make it very comfortable. So that is our whole focus. That is our jigyasa. Instead of tattva jigyasa, the jigyasa is how do I make it very comfortable and secure. So Prabhupada says that this human life is to inquire about the absolute truth and then go back to Godhead. That is the whole purpose. Our purpose is not to spoil our life, changing bodies, one life after another. So Prabhupada says Krishna is coming in this world. He's taking different incarnations. So that, and he's telling us that, why are you suffering, my sons and daughters? Please come back to me. Please come back to my home, to my spiritual world. Why are you suffering in this world? But we are stubborn. Krishna is performing so many pastimes in Vrindavan. And he's telling us, come and play with me. Come, you can come and dance with me. But we are so stubborn that we just want to continue. Or we lack faith. So I think that faith is such so important that at least little bit of faith is required in the beginning. So people, if they got little bit of faith, so Prabhupada explains from Rupa Goswami, what is the next step? The next step is sadhu sangha. So somehow we have to come in the association of devotees. So when you come in the association of devotees, first understand who is a devotee, who is a sadhu. Prabhupada says sadhu is who is a devotee of Krishna. That is a sadhu. So that is to be understood, and that we need to find. Even in the purport, Prabhupada says that we have to find the person Bhagavat. So and then understand the Bhagavatam, the message of Godhead. So we have to look for the sadhu and associate with them. So Prabhupada says if you associate with a drunkard, we become a drunkard. But if you associate with devotee, we will become a devotee. That is certain. That is the power of association of a sadhu. By association of sadhu, we do the next step. What is the next step? Bhajana kriya. The process, we actually perform the devotional service. And by performing devotional service, what happens? Anartha nivritti. So this is the effect of bhajana kriya. That anartha means unwanted things. Things that are not required. So that is something we start to develop. Anartha, nivritti means to give it up. So Prabhupada explains, what is this anartha? Anarthas are eating meat, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication. These are the anarthas. So this anartha we have to give up. So that is in the association of devotees, practicing devotional service, we start to give up these anarthas. It cannot come on its own. We need this association of devotees and practicing devotional service. And we have seen it in our lives. I mean, at least in my case, so many unwanted things that was going on. But by adopting this Krishna conscious process, I've been able to give up few things. It's still so long path to go, but at least at the basic level, by Prabhupada's mercy, trying to avoid this try to follow four regulative principles. So that is anartha nivritti. And Prabhupada is saying this, that once you develop small faith, associate with devotees, and do bhajana kriya, we have to analyze ourselves. How much have I given up? Anartha, how much of anartha I've given up? Prabhupada says, at least if you reach to the 50% you've given up, Prabhupada says. Now, I don't know how do I quantify what is 50%. But Prabhupada says 50 to 60% if you have given up, then the nishtha will develop. Firm faith will develop. Without that, without anartha nivritti, our faith will be very shallow. Prabhupada says, you cannot be chanting Hare Krishna on one hand and smoking with the other hand. Okay? At least we have given up that, but one time I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but mobile has come. Smoking is gone, but the mobile has come. So that's another anartha nivritti. So that has to be given up if you want to. Then we cannot make progress if you're doing both things, two things together, opposite things together. Chanting with one hand, mobile on the other hand. So that will not help us to do anartha nivritti. So that is to be taken care of. So Prabhupada says the devotional service is possible when one is fixed, one is freed from these anarthas, unwanted things. So Prabhupada says that there are different steps of Shraddha. And Prabhupada interestingly explains that Adau Shraddha, this whole process, step by step, is different steps of Shraddha. So you gradually develop your Shraddha from very little Shraddha to a greater Shraddha, up to Nishtha. So that is the stages of Shraddha that Prabhupada explains. And then, but the problem is once, even if we are serious, okay, as a neophyte devotee, Prabhupada explains that the neophyte devotee has very little taste for hearing from the authorities. We want to do our own way. We don't want to hear about anyone. That is the general tendency of a neophyte devotee. Such a neophyte devotee makes a show of hearing from the professional man to satisfy his senses. This sort of hearing and chanting has spoiled the whole thing. Okay? So one should be very careful about the faulty process. The holy message of Godhead as inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan ki Jai Shri Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai ki Jai Shri Shri Giri Govardhan ji ki Jai. So this is the trouble. And when you try to explain it to others, it is very sensitive topic. They feel discouraged that why I am interested in spiritual life, I am hearing from this holy man, why he is stopping me? They cannot differentiate who is a bona fide devotee and who is not a bona fide devotee. Okay? The Prabhupada says that the problem with this, Srila Prabhupada has a problem with this, he is explaining why he has a problem with this Bhagavad Sapta, which is very prominent in India. He says that, first of all, I have read all the Shastra. No acharyas has talked about this Bhagavad Sapta. I have never heard from any acharya, even Sridhar Swami. Nobody talks about this Bhagavad Sapta. Okay? And then secondly, how did this come about? This came about by this professional man who wanted to make a business out of this Bhagavatam, seeing the interest people have in this hearing spiritual topics. And the second problem Prabhupada has is, you cannot cover the topic of Bhagavatam in 7 days. Prabhupada gives the example that his guru, he gave a class on the first verse of Bhagavatam for 3 months in Dhaka, Bangladesh. How can he cover in 7 days this topics of Srimad Bhagavatam? This is simply not possible. So that has to be given up. So what is our process? How one should hear Bhagavatam? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Prabhupada says. This Bhagavatam has to be relished. Nityam, every day, constantly. Not that we hear for 7 days and then for the whole year do all kind of nonsense. That is not the process of Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So we cannot attain the steady position of Krishna consciousness unless we come to the point of goodness. So that is what Prabhupada is recommending. By following this, when we do anartha nivritti, it will help us to come to the stage of goodness. Then we can be very fixed up in our Krishna consciousness. By the modes of passion and ignorance, which is lust and greediness, we cannot be fixed up in our Krishna consciousness. We need the platform of goodness to actually develop, to advance in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada says that this bhakti is not sentiment. The bhakti is shruta grihitaya, which is grihitaya means hearing from bona fide sources. Shruti means hearing, so there is a ear involved and there is tongue involved. Prabhupada says that in our Shastra, nowhere it is written that you can realize God by your eyes. You can realize God by hearing and by tongue, by chanting. So this is the process. And it is very bona fide. It is not sentimentalism. It is based on the science of Krishna consciousness. So I like to end here if there is any questions or comments or corrections.